We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, starting out this morning. So, someone asks you, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you give them man's version, or do you go by the version that you've been taught by God? You see, man's version is, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutory death. God raised him from the dead. If you believe that, you're saved. And therefore, there's the gospel. That isn't even touch the tip of the iceberg of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to God. And we're going to look at that this morning because I think so many people have confused what man considers the good news of God to what the good news of God really is. It's not you going to heaven. That's not the good news. Okay? That's never been the good news. Okay? There's eternal life. There's life after death. True. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Those that are born of the flesh and remain the flesh go to hell. Those that are born of the flesh and are born again of the Spirit, then they go to a place called heaven. And what makes heaven heaven is the presence of God, not the streets of gold, not the pearly gates, but the presence of Almighty God. Chapter 15, verse 1. Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. And there's that dirty little word that keeps annoying us every Sunday. If. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So now we focus so much on the gospel of Christ, on believing. But here, right here, says that you can believe in vain. If you believe in a Jesus Christ that man has created, you're believing in Jesus Christ in vain. If you believe in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't alter your life at some point where you follow his commandments, and there's this miraculous new birth in your life, then you have believed in Jesus Christ in vain. There are so many people working for God and giving their life to Christ that are doing this in vain. If the belief you have doesn't lead to the worship of God through the Spirit, and if you are born spiritually dead, then you cannot worship God. God is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth and the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. So he is that truth that we must go by, that we become spiritual so that we can worship God. We've allowed man to worship God in vain. We've allowed people to believe in Jesus Christ in vain. Oh, I said a prayer at some point in my life. I believed it because my mom and daddy told me that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he did those. He had that virgin birth, sinless life, raised him for 3 days, and boom, that's it, and that's the gospel, and I'm going to heaven. That is not the gospel. Never been the gospel. That's the gospel according to man, not the gospel according to God. If you hold fast, that means there's a perseverance. That means that there's an endurance. That means that there is a times when you may not be able to hold in the flesh, that it's only God can sustain you through that time and bring you to this new birth experience. If God doesn't bring you to the new birth experience, you'll never get there. So therefore, that's why man had to create religion. So man had to say, God, you stay out of it. We'll take it from here, and we'll tell people what they have to do to be saved. We'll tell people what they have to believe. to go to heaven. When this book doesn't talk anything about that's the purpose of the gospel. Gospel stands for good news. So there has to be bad news for the good news to mean anything. And if you don't understand the bad news, then the gospel according to God means nothing to you, and you've believed in Jesus in vain. We're going to look at what that bad news is in just a little bit. He says, "For I delivered to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now again, you have to understand, he's talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking to Jews. He's not talking to the Gentiles. It's amazing how much of the scripture that Jesus Christ is specifically saying to the disciples and specifically saying to the Jewish nation, and we take it and say, well, he's speaking to us too, when he's not. He is speaking to the church at Corinth, which are the Jews that have been chosen by God to believe. Christ died for our sins. But he says, I received. Okay? So to receive something, you have to be given something. Religion says, I'm giving something to God, but they're not receiving anything from God. Therefore, they believe in Jesus Christ in vain. If what you believe in Christ and you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've not been completely circumcised from the flesh, then you're still in the bad news and you've believed in Jesus Christ in vain. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. See, this is part of that good news, is the fact that he was born that virgin birth because God was his father, and therefore he had the nature of God and couldn't sin if he wanted to, because he was purposed to be the unblemished lamb of God to die for the nation of Israel for their sins. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That was the purpose. The resurrection is where the hope comes in at. If God doesn't raise him, the virgin birth means nothing. The sinless life means absolutely nothing if God doesn't raise him. But God did raise him. This showed God's acceptance for the payment of sin for the nation of Israel, and ultimately for all of mankind. As we learned last week, God grafted us in. And that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. So he not only was raised, but there was proof of his resurrection. They saw him die. They saw him breathe his last. They heard him say, "It is finished." They saw the clouds become dark and the earth begin to shake. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. There's a reason for that. Because this comes from God. They saw all of that. But then they saw him in the flesh. As Robert read, he showed up behind closed doors and spoke to them. They knew he was there. They knew he was alive. And then after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren. So don't think it's all about you. We learned that lesson last week, that what God is doing in your life, you're not the only one he's doing it in. He's got people that he's called all over this world, all over different cultures. We're not unique to this gift. God gives it to all men, and not all men will receive it. But he appeared to 500 brethren. So it's not something that it's just here. I mean, 500 people who had saw him die now are seeing him walk around talking to them. They see him. And at one time, most of who remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. See, the death of a saint is they're just taking a nap. Death is not the final chapter in their life, but it's the beginning of a new life in Christ, glory to God the Father. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Okay. And then last of all, it says that at one timely born, he appeared to me also. You know, so that's why Paul is considered an apostle, because he saw Christ and he spoke to Christ on the road to Damascus when Paul had this great zeal for God, because he always wanted to do work for God, but he was never the workmanship of God. And so he was blinded for 3 days. His life was turned upside down, and he was now this instrument of disaster. Why can you call him an instrument of disaster? Because God told, you're going to see how much this man must suffer for me. And Paul carried that guilt his whole life that he persecuted the church. He was actually contrary to the very zeal that he had in life, was to please God, but not knowing that you can't please God in the flesh. That this was something greater. That this gospel, this good news, actually wasn't a knowledge about Jesus Christ, which we've allowed people to say if they just knowledge it and believe that thing that we tell them with no effect on their life, then they don't have the Jesus that God talks about and the gospel that God talks about. Let's look at John 3, 14 to 21. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So this was a practical example of redemption. The nation of Israel had disobeyed God, and he sent some fiery serpents, and a lot of them died. And they cried out to God, we've sinned against you. You know, that's what that was their habit, is that we're in a bad situation, God get us out. We're in a bad situation, God, get us out. We're in a bad situation, God, get us out. Much like we are today. We don't change much. Matter of fact, we didn't change at all. The heart of man is still the same. We only want God when we're in a bad situation and he can get us out, which is not the gospel at all. That has nothing to do with the gospel, okay? So Jesus has got to be lifted up just as the serpent was, because you must look to him for salvation. It's through him that salvation comes, first to the nation of Israel, then God grafted us in. Okay? So, is what he's telling us here. And it says, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Okay? There's life after death, as we've already spoken. This is not it. What you see now is not it. Matter of fact, the next chapter lasts a whole lot longer than this chapter. And God is gracious enough for us to allow us to live long enough in this chapter to maybe come to that saving knowledge of who he is. For God, probably the most misunderstood verse in the Bible, we teach it to our little kids. That's the first verse we teach little children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So they don't have a clue what that means, first of all. Matter of fact, I don't think most adults know what this verse means. For God so loved the world. Matter of fact, you'll even have some people say, take the world out and put your name there. That's not what he said. He said he loved the world. And we're going to look in a minute why he loved the world. I don't think we can understand why he loves the world. But this is why he did all of this, was because he loved the world. But he had a purpose in loving the world so that you and I wouldn't perish. Okay? Because this is where the gospel comes in at. There's bad news, folks. You're born with a nature contrary and enemy to God. God has condemned us. He's condemned all humanity to a fiery hell. And then he brings the good news. Okay? He's going to provide a way that we might be redeemed back to a holy God. On his terms. His terms come with a lot of ifs. We've already talked about that. We've already had those sermons on the ifs of God. There's a lot of ifs. Okay? It's not just simply, I believe and I'm going to heaven. There's a lot of ifs to that. We don't want to talk about the ifs because the ifs take it out of our hands and put it in the mercy of a sovereign God. That's what if does. Very powerful word. Only two letters, but incredibly powerful. He gave his only begotten son. Okay? Begotten means that he's the one that caused the word to become flesh. The word was in the beginning with God. The word was God. And now the word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. And his own did not receive him. Remember the partial hardening that we talked about, where only God allowed only a few of the Jews to believe so that God's purpose could be accomplished in the redemption of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever, I mean, it's all inclusive, believes in him shall not perish. Now, we have to look at belief. And if you other read Pius, the scripture says it's from the nature you must believe, not just from the mind. Well, we can't believe from the nature. We begin believing through the flesh, but during that discipleship, at some point, we're taught by God, and it's revealed to us, and we receive the gift of God somewhere during that discipleship. As the passage of Scripture proves that all disciples of Christ never experienced the born-again experience. So just because you're a disciple of Christ doesn't mean you're a child of God. And that's what's difficult about this good news, is that it relies upon God and not you. If we don't come to the end of ourselves, we never can experience this good news. But we shall not perish, but have eternal life. That means, all that means is we live forever. It doesn't talk about where we live forever in that passage of Scripture. God is heaven. His presence is what makes it what it is. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. It didn't say that the world would be saved through him. It says that the world might be saved through him. So there means that there's a possibility that it might not be saved through him. So even though it's an inclusive, it now becomes very exclusive. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, we understand that there's a judgment that's already happened. Jesus Christ was not only the good news, but he was the judgment of God. So when Jesus came, then all the scriptures were fulfilled, and now the condemnation of man becomes a reality. I don't think we're acknowledging that. And the demons believe in Jesus Christ, and at least they tremble. We don't. And yet it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but yet, where's the fear and trembling? Why did he put that in Scripture? It's because when you come to that realization, when he has revealed to you what you are and what your heart is, and know that you can't do anything about it, you can't join a church, you can't turn over a new leaf, you can't give up bad habits. There's no way to please God. I'm just in the flesh, and that's what I am. And knowing and coming to that realization, that's all I am. And this is my destiny. I have no other destiny. Knowing that God raises up the children of wrath. Knowing that God raises up evil to show his goodness to those that receive Christ. That's where our fear should come in at, that God, don't let me be one of those. God, allow me to understand. God, help me to know what I am. See, when we listen to men and it's all about, gosh, it's just believe and you're going to go, well, there are folks in Matthew chapter 7 that were casting out demons and performing miracles in the name of Christ, and they believed in him, but Christ said, depart from me, I never knew you. When he began to teach spiritual truths to his disciples, and he said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, it says not just a few, it says many of his disciples no longer followed him. They considered him a madman. When we begin to learn the truths of God and the revelation of God, it will cause disturbance in your life. See, religion says it's just all about happy times. Let's have parties and celebrations. And folks, it's more serious than that. See, that takes away the seriousness of sin. When we make a mockery of baptisms and believing. And so many people have fallen into this deception of, I just got to believe. And they don't understand where faith comes from. Nobody, they don't even know where that's at in the scriptures, that they've never read it. And the reason most people don't know these truths is because they're reading commentaries, they're reading self-help books, they're reading these little daily devotionals that are self-help devotionals to make you feel good about yourself and to feel good about God and feel good about the good news, but not the truth about the devastation behind that good news. God didn't spare his own son and put him through torment. Paul had to preach. The disciples, they were beaten. They were run out of towns. The early Christians had their properties confiscated. They were sawn into. They were put in the arenas and lions. They were made sport. It was impossible to believe in Jesus Christ in the way that we need to believe, and we can't do it without the help of him, because in the flesh we can't do it. That's why we have to come to the end of ourselves. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. See, that's that fulfillment of God's judgment. And Jesus was that light of the world. That men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That is all inclusive. He's looking at men as all of us. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. So now you got to define what's evil. See, we like to categorize evil. See, we look at a society and we get together and we say, well, that's evil. This is good. And so we forget that God gets to determine what's evil and what's good. And the evil is that you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you come to the saving knowledge of who He is, and you have that new birth experience, and you receive the Holy Spirit and the total circumcision of the flesh. You're freed from sin. You repent. You turn the other direction. You're a new creature. Okay, you present yourself as a holy living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not happening with today's gospel. That's not happening with man's gospel. Is there everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear? We're afraid of what we are. We're afraid that it's going to come to light. That's why we don't read the scriptures in its entirety, because it will dissect us. It's alive. It's sharper than two-edged swords, and it dissects going in and it cuts coming out. It separates the bone from the marrow, which is impossible to do. It does something for us that no other book can do. And yet, we refuse to sit down. We refuse. It's easier to go on mission trips. It's easier to be good in the sense that we have decided what's good. It's easier to be busy for God. There's something surely we can do to gain His notice. When there's not. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. But he who practices the truth, hope you get this. So when you're that disciple and you begin to practice truth, but he who practices the truth comes to the light. God wrote the truth. Man didn't write the truth. We don't need man's opinion about what God's truth is. He wrote it. You don't need another book. If you need another book, you're in trouble. If you need someone to explain it to you, you're in trouble. Those that are taught by God come to the saving knowledge of who He is what Scripture says. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of their sin. See, it's not become about sin anymore. We're called sinners. Just acknowledge that you're a sinner. No, acknowledge that you're a thief. Acknowledge that you're an adulterer. Acknowledge that you're a murderer. Acknowledge that God is not first in your life. Oh, yes, He is. Until I got a soccer game to go to. Until I got something more pressing in my life that I like. How many of y'all prepared to come in? How many of y'all were made sure that this was the foremost part of your day? This is a holy day. God is the one that separated it out and said, hey, it's a holy day. And yet we haphazardly come in here like we're going anywhere else. Matter of fact, we'll prepare more for our jobs and work than we do here. Do you know what preparation it took to put on Keeneland? You know how important Keeneland is to so many people? And the Derby? And all the preparation? And we say God is first. See, you got to acknowledge that first in your life that he's not. For when you acknowledge that he's not, then he can begin to work on you. God, it just doesn't matter to me. I remember one of the first things I had to admit to him was I didn't want to read his scripture. And I didn't care if anybody else went to hell or not. Because see, we're all supposed to care, right? Now, I know what we, if you're raised up I know in the Baptist church, you're supposed to care about people, right? But do we really care? As long as it doesn't cost us anything, we care. Maybe, 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 maybe. But to him who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. That did not say wrought with God. Did you catch that? That didn't say wrought with God. It said wrought in God. Therefore, the verse comes up for his workmanship. I'll tell you, folks, he's not working in your life. And you have anything to do with it, you're believing in Jesus in vain. The belief causes something to happen eventually in your life. And when there's people that have sit in church for 40 and 50 years and have never become the church, they're going to stand before him. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you don't get to tell me, oh, Uncle Johnny's in heaven. Okay? Had a lady this week. Told her dog, when he gets to heaven, he's going to be Jesus' dog. Folks, don't laugh. She was very serious. Because somebody fed her a gospel of Jesus Christ according to man and not according to God. And that's what's going on in our world, but no one wants to admit it. Folks, we're in a sad state of affairs in our world. We're living out the end times in that stage of apostasy. A stage of falling from truth. Oh, there's going to be a form of godliness because we're all lip service in it, but it's devoid of the Spirit. Let's look real quick to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. This is why he loved the world, folks. It's not because he has a fuzzy feeling for you, because he made us in his own image. Okay? We're the fallen image of God. And his purpose is to redeem us back to himself. According to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and the cattle of the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. He created woman in the image of man. God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and he created him female. He created them. He created them. This is his. That's why he loved the world. That's why it says, for God so loved the world. He had an interest in it. He took a divine interest in us and created us in his own image. God blessed them. And said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant of the yielding of a seed, and the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding to the seed, it is for you good for food. and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and everything that moves on the earth which has life, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that all he made was, behold, it was not just good, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was a sixth day. For God so loved the world. Why? Because the way I look at the world, and we're all enemies of God, we're born that way. So what explains his love is because he took an invested interest in us to create us male and female. No disturbance there. That's what it is. You're not a furry. Okay? You're not all this stuff that's going on, folks. This is why God sent his son Jesus Christ, and we have people that are gathering in churches today claiming this false Jesus, not understanding the scripture. God made no mistake. He did it just exactly the way he wanted, and thus this is why he so loved the world. And finishing up real quick in Romans chapter 6:10. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. This is where we kind of ended up last week. Jesus didn't live his life for Jesus. Jesus lived his life for God. He's our example. He has authority over all the church and over all this earth. And so therefore, his example is that we also are to live our life to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. If the Jesus you believe in doesn't bring out this reverence of God and respect and fear of God, then again, you've got a different Jesus, and you have believed in Jesus in vain. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. See, here's the good news. Not that we go to heaven, but we're new creatures and we're freed from sin so that we don't sin against God. That's the gospel. We have been washed from our sins, we've been saved from our sins, and we've been cleansed. That's the gospel. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God, not to Jesus. It's through Jesus that we present ourselves to God. It's not we're presenting ourselves to Jesus. If we're just presenting ourselves to Jesus, we've got the wrong Jesus. I'm just reading scripture, folks. This is not something I dreamed up or came up with. I'm just reading stuff to you that you've never read before, because we refuse to sit down and read everything in its entirety. Don't read just pieces of scripture. Read it all. Because God wrote it. He preserved it. And through the Holy Spirit, he reveals it. And you can pick all this up if you want to. You can change the scriptures. You can make it whatever you want. Huh? Judas went out and hung himself. Go ye likewise and do the same. I mean, I can take this passage and I can make it anything I want, but when I read it in its content and I just take, okay, this is what we believe. Well, find out if scripture always defines scripture. You don't need any other way to find out what it says. God will lead you to the passages of Scripture where he tells you the biblical truths and explains Scripture as much as he wants us to know, because we don't know very much. For sin shall not be master over you. You are not under law, you're under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. We're going to stop there. So that's the gospel according to God.